most of the last 2,000 years, theology has focused on our relationship with God and with each other. Now we are realizing that loving our neighbor includes loving the whole of creation. As a reflection of this, we will be celebrating the season of creation during September. This is not yet part of the normal Anglican cycle, but is a liturgical tradition started in Australia some 20 years ago. As we turn our attention more and more to the spiritual significance of the planetary ecological crisis, it seems important for us here at St. Benedict's to join with others across the world in this seasonal focus. It's not surprising that many of us feel closest to God when we are looking at an amazing sunset, or when we're in the mountains or at the beach. Creation has been called the pillow talk of the Trinity. It is God's self-expression of love flowing out of the Father and the Son. Through interacting with creation, with our spiritual eyes open, we experience God. The Franciscan theologian Bonaventure said that creation is both book and mirror. It is like a book because it is the self-expression or the speech of God. Creation isn't something that's separate from God, but emerges out of the innermost depths of the life of the Godhead. Every being, whether a grain of sand or a star or a fish, reflects the Godhead as its source, its reason to exist, and its ultimate destination when all things are gathered up into God. Creation is like a mirror, because everything in some way reflects the power, wisdom, and goodness of the Trinity. The face of God is reflected in the way every being expresses itself. Thus, every creature is a symbol and a sacrament of God's presence and God's love. Since God is absolutely free, there is no necessity for God to create. It is all God's gift and grace. God creates because God wants to reveal and communicate God's self in the fullness of divine love. And from this perspective, we can see that creation is only the prelude to the fuller expression of God's love in the incarnation. You will remember that John's Gospel tells us that nothing is made without Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect divine human who exemplifies the meaning and purpose of all creation. And that meaning and purpose is the praise and glory of God in a communion of love. Now it is possible that in that extraordinary way that God has of turning everything upside down, that the ecological crisis we face is a new opportunity for God's glory to be seen. And this is the source of our hope. God's love is expressed not just in human lives and relationship, but in the whole of planetary life. As we respond with love and compassion to the plight of our world, so God is lifted up. Today, the first Sunday of creation, is Ocean Sunday. We use water to express many of our understandings of spiritual life, and as Anglicans and Episcopalians, the way we pray expresses our faith understandings. So I'd like you to turn with me to page 306 in the Red Book of Common Prayer, to the thanksgiving over the water. Let's read this together. We thank you, Almighty God,
for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism.
lessons, it goes on to bless the water. Thank you. So I'd like to just talk about what we just prayed. Water is a symbol of God's new creation and our deliverance and release from all that holds us back. The children of Israel came through the water of the Red Sea as they were liberated from Egypt, the event that gave them their self-identity and is still celebrated every year at Passover. In the waters of the River Jordan, Jesus the Christ was identified as both human and divine. And in the water of baptism, we are released from the power of sin and are raised with Christ, reborn by the Holy Spirit, and identified as Christ's own forever. In the Gospel reading, we heard about the disciples fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Throughout Jesus' teaching, he used images from the lives of people and from creation. And in this story, Jesus used their everyday activity on the water to talk about the reign of God. The men had worked long and hard all night for very little reward. But when Jesus tells them to put their nets in on the other side, they bring them up full of fish. This was a miraculous sign, which encouraged Simon Peter and his friends to follow Jesus, to become fishers of people. But we can also see it as a parable for our own lives. How often do we try to do things by our own wisdom and in our own strength without turning them over to God? We work hard and we try to think things through carefully and do our very best, but we often don't invite the Holy Spirit into the situation. We forget that God's way works and ours doesn't. The water is deep and dark, and the fishermen can't see where the fish are. We never have all the facts of a situation. Asking God to work in our lives and bring about the very best outcome for everyone concerned, including ourselves, only makes sense. That's the good news. God is always there, willing to help us with our fishing. But the not so good news is that there are not so many fish in the oceans anymore. Rising temperatures, overfishing, and pollution have radically reduced the fish population. Put your nets into the water today, and you're as likely to come up with trash as with fish. But that can change. And many people are working to bring about change. Locally, we have banned plastic bags because they found their way into the ocean where they were eaten by sea mammals, causing tremendous suffering and death. It takes 10 to 30 years for a plastic shopping bag to break down, and 400 years for a plastic beverage holder. So the more conscious we are of disposing of our trash carefully, and of buying things with less packaging so that we don't have so much trash in the first place, the less trash gets into the ocean. You might also consider joining in the annual beach cleanup, which is coming up on September the 17th, to collect trash that would otherwise find its way into the ocean. They still need volunteers along the Morro Bay coastline, and if you would like to be part of the St. Benedict's trash pickup team, please let me know. In addition to a reduction in trash and a new awareness of how much we throw away, there are fishermen who are fishing in sustainable ways which avoid overfishing or killing other marine life or unwanted fish. Locally, we can buy responsibly and sustainably caught fish. And every time you buy ethically produced or harvested food, you support the fishermen and the farmers, and your choice makes a difference. Yes, it's a small one, but it will be multiplied by others. Jesus took a few loaves of bread and two small fish and fed 5,000 people. God multiplies our small actions so that our dying oceans can be renewed and marine life can flourish once more. It was great news this week that the United States and Canada both ratified the Paris Climate Agreement. But the climate change news is not good. July was the hottest month on record and marked 15 consecutive months of global record-breaking temperatures. It's going to take much more than government action to bring about change. It's going to take each one of us co-creating with God to find new ways to reduce our own carbon footprint. And that is our calling in this day and age. Jesus calls us, like the disciples, to change the way we're doing things, to take the countercultural route and fish on the other side. We are called to recognize that we are not separate from any part of creation, especially the oceans. After all, we are all more than 60% water ourselves. We are called to recognize that as we love and serve creation as stewards who care and live responsibly, so we are loving and serving God. And may God give us the grace to do so.